I'm Elizabeth Meyer. I am an analyst with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment in our Center for Health and Environmental Data. I am somewhat of a new epidemiologist. I've been there for about a year and a half and started there shortly after graduation. So that's pretty much my entire intro. We don't need to get into my entire educational background. Today I'll be discussing how we're using data from a statewide survey to identify some disparities in the built environment in Colorado, and I'm also going to touch on how we're disseminating that data and various means of data visualization that we're using in our department as well. So when we're talking about the built environment, I'm sure many of you are very familiar with what this is, but we're talking about the physical parts of where we live and work. So we're talking about homes, buildings, streets, open spaces, recreational opportunity spaces, transportation systems and infrastructure, and we're also talking about healthy food access and walkability and bikeability in our communities. There's a lovely picture of Denver. Isn't it so beautiful? The impact that built environment has is pretty profound. So obviously it kind of follows logic that if there's a community design that limits walking, biking, health food access, or quality housing, it would then lead to a number of other factors. So we're talking about lack of physical activity is obviously a very high priority in built environment work, but also healthy food options, which is a major contributor to obesity. And then there's additional information about how built environment factors can impact positive social interaction and limit social interaction in communities where there are less designs that allow for physical activity and also good quality housing where people are getting together and spending time in their communities. And so the health outcomes that we see are high risks of obesity, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, some cancers. When we're talking about safety factors in the built environment, injury becomes a very important piece. So sidewalks and safe areas to walk and bike. There's also great impacts on mental and emotional health when people have limited access to quality built environment factors in their community. And then on a systematic level, we have higher healthcare costs due to all of these factors. So the survey I'm going to be describing today is called the Attitudes and Behaviors Survey on Health. We call it TABS. And it's a random digit dialed survey of 8,000 to 15,000 Colorado adults. Now the range there is because in the most recent iteration of this survey in 2015, we had a smaller sample size, so we had around 8,000. And previously it had been larger, so a slight fluctuation there. It's conducted in either English or Spanish by the respondent's request. And then it has been administered every 3 to 5 years in its various forms since 2001. In 2008, we introduced cell phones into the sample, and in 2015, we had about a 50-50 split of landline and cell phone respondents. In 2012, we expanded the survey, so it was previously primarily a tobacco survey, and it had a different name, and then we added chronic disease questions and behaviors related to chronic disease in 2012, really to supplement, our traditional surveillance systems like BRFSS and the information that we can get from those surveys in order to get some more detailed information into our population that we weren't getting from other surveys and options. And then in 2015, we added several modules to the survey, and one of them was the built environment module. It's a prioritized 1305 objective, and so we wanted to be able to describe what's happening in Colorado a little bit more, look at things regionally, look at some disparities that might exist, and just get more in-depth into our built environment data. Oops, I'm skipping ahead too. So there were several questions within this module. It wasn't just limited to these two, but for the sake of time, I can't go through them all. So I kind of wanted to highlight two pieces that I think were very interesting in this survey. So there was a piece at the beginning of this module where you can rate your neighborhood on this following list of built environment characteristics, and then you can rate the importance of the availability of those characteristics to the respondent. So you can see we have access to parks, we have park quality, which includes fitness opportunities and shade availability, because there's a huge difference between a park that's just an exposed piece of green and then a park that has paths and tree coverage and the possible uses in each of those parks would be very different. There's also pieces about access to safe places to walk and bike, safety on sidewalks, the condition of sidewalks, and then ease of travel via public transportation. And so respondents were asked parts A and B for each of those factors that are listed. The survey module was analyzed using SAS survey procedures, and we asked, you know, the typical demographics to be looked at as crosstabs, age, sex, race, ethnicity, income and poverty level, educational attainment to get sort of a description of where disparities might lie. And then we also had have included a few that are a little bit more specific to some program work that we're doing in Colorado, so whether there's children in the household or not, BMI category and physical activity level of the respondents, and then mental, emotional, and physical activity limitations. So we're trying to get at some pieces that really inform direct program work as well within our state. And then, of course, we have regional breakdowns. We cannot get as low as county level with the survey just due to sample size and due to how small some of our counties are. But we have our regional breakdowns that we can provide and an urban-rural comparison for our counties as well. So we found some similar patterns throughout several of these factors. First, in terms of gender, we found that females and males had very similar neighborhood ratings for a lot of the factors, except for factors that involved safety, in which females rated that their neighborhood had less good access to safe places to walk and bike, or a feeling of personal safety while they were walking on sidewalks, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then we also had females tend to rate the importance of characteristics much higher than males. So even if the rating for the characteristic itself was lower, they would still rate the importance of that factor higher than males. And that was seen specifically, the disparity between those two was seen specifically in those safety features as well, safety factors, I should say. Respondents with children in their household overall rated higher importance across all factors. Respondents with a physical activity limitation had significantly lower neighborhood ratings across all factors than those with no physical activity limitation. And then we saw something similar with people with a mental or emotional activity limitation, in that those with a mental or emotional activity limitation had actually a large disparity compared in terms of having lower good access to this variety of features compared with those with no mental or emotional activity limitation. So the disparity in those with mental or emotional activity limitations was pretty striking in comparison, even with looking at those with physical activity limitations. And another interesting to note about those with mental or emotional activity limitations is that they rated many factors as much higher and more important to them compared with those that did not have a mental or emotional activity limitation. And we didn't see that in the physical activity limitation, but I think that would be something interesting to look into further, noting the importance of you know, mental health and behavioral health and its link with the built environment, which I think is an increasing area of focus and interest in this area. So apologies for the lack of being able to see some of this, but I will explain all of it. So I wanted to highlight a few of the characteristics. I don't have time to go into all of them, but I wanted to highlight a few of these built environment features. And so one of the examples that I wanted to highlight was access to parks. And so on the left, we have that first set of questions where respondents rated their neighborhood, and this is the rating of very good for the feature access to parks. And then on the right set of bar graphs, we have participants that reported that that factor was very important to them. So in looking at race and ethnicity, for example, we can see that African American and Hispanic Latino respondents had significantly lower reportings of good access to parks in their neighborhood compared with whites. Other non-Hispanics have quite a confidence interval and span across both, so no significant difference there. But then if we switch over to the right side and see the importance rating in Black and African American and Hispanic Latino respondents, they have a much higher rating of very important for access to parks. So having access to parks in those communities is very important to them, but we see this discrepancy between they're obviously not getting as good of access to parks as our white respondents. So there's, you know, those huge disparities on both sides where people who see a factor as very important are also not getting that factor currently. In income, we see somewhat what I would expect to see, I guess, lower income to higher income. We see an increase of good access to parks. And then if we look over at the importance on these various income breakdowns, I found it interesting to note that the people with the two lower income categories were very comparable in terms of how important access to parks was to them compared with those in the highest income category. So again, it's apparent that we're not meeting the needs of the low income population, as this factor is very important to them, but they also have the lowest rating of good access to parks in their neighborhood. And then in educational attainment, we see somewhat of a similar pattern to our income breakdowns, in that those with the lowest high school education have significantly lower reported good access to parks than those in all other groups, but especially when you compare with a college graduate. But they also have the highest reported importance of access to parks to them. So we kind of saw this pattern throughout several factors. This set of graphs actually almost looks identical to another factor, which is fitness opportunities in parks such as trails. And so we're seeing similar discrepancies and disparities within both park access but also park quality. Another one that I wanted to highlight was access to safe places to walk. This is a very important piece to our program work at CDPHE. And so again, we have the very good access to safe places to park rating for their neighborhood on the left, and then the importance factor on the right. So, you know, we see similar disparities where we have our African American and Latino communities. In this case, we also have our other non-Hispanic communities rating less very good access to safe places to walk compared with whites. But again, they're the highest in reported importance when you compare to whites. Similar patterns seen in income disparities and educational attainment disparities, but the difference in importance on these two is not as profound, but the disparities nonetheless still exist. So I wanted to touch in my last couple minutes on how we're disseminating this data. I only had a chance to go through a couple of our factors and a couple of things that we're doing with this data, but we, as a department, have been using Tableau software for data visualization. And so we've created quite a few data visualization products and tools that we've been using to disseminate our data and just make data more easily accessible both for internal and external partners. And so we decided to, as a first step in looking at this data and being able to offer it to our communities to use, we decided to make a visualization out of this Part A and B question, and then we can build on it in the future with additional pieces of that module. So we started with some regional maps, so that communities can see, you know, where the disparities may lie in their communities, compare with other areas, and just see, you know, if their region is one that really might need to be focused on a little bit more, and maybe certain communities within that region need to have better built environment assessments, or they might need to have community level surveys to get at more of that community level data, but it's a starting point for them to see where they're faring in terms of these various aspects. We also have something similar to the graphs that I just showed, where they can see that reported neighborhood rating and then importance across various demographics. And so they can really build kind of a customized report of how demographics look at the state level in terms of these disparities, and then use those to be able to apply to what might be happening in their community with their own demographic breakdowns, and then be able to target areas that need, obviously, improved built environment access and quality. So our plan is to, you know, offer this to our internal and external partners, and then let them build out of the current resources that they have and encourage them to keep doing neighborhood assessments in order to get at disparities that might be in existence in their communities. And that is all I have. And I will take a question now.